Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. I'd like to take the moments that we have, the time that we have remaining, and speak to you from the life of Esther about the word submission. Submission. I think everybody here, if you've read your Bible a little bit, you've read about the life of Queen Esther. What a great testimony this queen has and this lady has in her Bible. And the focus of this lesson is how God allowed Queen Esther, or how Queen Esther, by God's help, appealed to her husband in order to stop the plans of a wicked man by the name of Haman. And I mean, it was this order was from headquarters, and it was going to happen. And yet God allowed Esther to be submissive, though, even in her role as wife, queen, whatever title, but yet she was able to, with God's help, change the course of really a nation in the area of submission. Heavenly Father, bless now as we open your word. Give us understanding tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, when we think about authority in our life, we're going to go to Esther 4 in just a moment. I'll give you time to get there. We think about authority in our life. Many times, it can be, when we say submission, a lot of times we don't really look at it as a good thing. I mean, it is, but no one here, I don't think anyone here likes to constantly be told always what to do, in the sense of we have the husband and wife relationship, employee-employer relationship. The natural tendency is we want to be the boss. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, in a sense. But the Bible, from cover to cover, tells us that there's areas of our life where we need to be willing to submit ourselves. And it's a good thing. And it's a good thing. I just wrote down some here, as I said a moment ago. Wives in submission to their husbands. We see that in Ephesians 5, 22 and 24. Again, when we think about that, by the way, quickly, that doesn't mean that the wife is less important than the husband. God is a God of order. The Bible, it says we're to do all things decently and in order. And so this is the way God ordered the home, the husband and the wife, the children. But even the Bible talks about submitting yourselves one to the other when it talks about the husband and the wife. Then we have children are to obey their parents. We see that in Ephesians 6:1, Colossians 3:20. Again, submitting ourselves. Employees are to obey their employers. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. 1 Peter 2:18. How about this? Citizens are to obey the government. Find that in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 17. 1 Peter 2:13 to 15. Students are to obey teachers. Galatians chapter 4, 1 and 2. Church members are to obey their pastors and follow them. Hebrews 13, 7 and verse 17. Now, we could say to all of these that there is an exception. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, stay there, let me just read this to you. In Acts chapter 5, if you want to hold your finger there and turn over there, I guess you can. I always want to encourage you to see it in the Bible. Acts chapter 5, it says there in verse number 29, at the end of the verse, it says, we ought to obey God rather than men. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, you know, sometimes people that are our authority could potentially lead us to go against God's word. And if that's the case, we need to do our best to, again, what I'm going to show you tonight, and maybe you've seen this before, but we need to do our best to figure out a way to always obey God's word. And obviously, we know there's coming a day where government, it's already in many countries, right? We know this. Where government is not going to allow God's word to be supreme. And we need to be asking God for boldness and grace that we would be willing to stand on the word of God lovingly, but stand on the word of God, because we know that day, more than likely, even in this great country, maybe not in our lifetime, but it is coming. And so in Esther's life, as we go back to the book of Esther, King Ahasuerus was her husband, and so that made him her authority. However, he had made a foolish decree. Turn back to chapter 3. You're in Esther 4. Turn back to chapter 3, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And Haman said unto King Ahasuerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. And their laws are diverse from all people, neither keep they the king's laws. Therefore it is not for the king's profit to suffer them. If it please the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver to the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it unto the king's treasuries." And the king took his ring from his hand and gave it unto Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, "The silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee." So under the influence of Haman, King Ahasuerus makes a very foolish decree, really, if you will. I don't believe he had any clue that he was talking about his wife's people, and the people were there, the Jews. Let's go over to chapter number 4 now, and let's see a man by the name of Mordecai. This is the uncle to the Queen Esther, and he hears about this decree, and he again says to the king, or to his, to sends a word to Esther, his niece. Verse 13. And then Mordecai commanded to Esther, to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" So here's what's happened. Haman has convinced the king that the Jews need to be killed. The story then is passed along, and it comes into the ears of Mordecai. And Mordecai goes to Queen Esther and says, "Look, you've got to do something about this. You've got to help with this decree, or else all of us are going to be killed in this decree." And it was when the king gave his ring in that way, in this time, it was pretty much a done deal. It was kind of like a signing on the document, or a signing on the contract, if you will. And he had basically given this ring to Haman, and it was a death warrant to all the Jews. Now notice Queen Esther, and now we're going to kind of see Esther's appeal to the authority in her life. Let's follow this now. This is the king. Now again, I'm a husband of Becky, but I'm not a king. You got to think about it in the time in which this was written, okay? There was a little more at stake here than a husband and a wife in the way in which it was here in the Old Testament for King Ahasuerus and how it worked. But I love what we see, how Esther appealed to the authority in her life. Number one, quickly, let's look at these. Look at verse 16, chapter 4. The first thing we see about Esther, she committed the matter to the Lord. How many things in your life and my life have we gone into them before committing them to the Lord? Now this was a challenge from Uncle Mordecai. But I love what she says. "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days. Hey, if you want me to go before my husband, the king, and by the way, you weren't allowed to go before the king in this day unless he asked you to come see him. And we come to find out in these verses, she hadn't been in his presence for 30 days. I think we're going to read that in a minute, which is amazing. But anyway, so for her to just go to see the king, it wasn't like it works in today's day in which we live. And so she says, "Hey, if you're wanting me to do this, I also and my maidens," verse 16, "will fast likewise. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish." Number one, in appealing to authority, we learn from Esther, she committed the matter to the Lord. Can I ask you this evening, what matters in your life, maybe with authority, maybe just in general in your life? Maybe it's not with authority, but it's an area of your life right now that needs to be committed to the Lord. Let's just recommit whatever it is to the Lord tonight. I think this is a great, this is a valuable lesson. Esther, I want you to go and I want you to stand before your husband and I want you to appeal before him for the sake of the king. But this is the authority in her life. So if before I'm going to do that, I want you to do something for me. I want you to pray for me. I want you to fast for me. We see that she committed it to the Lord. I think about as we make decisions at Anchor Baptist Church, it's not necessarily about authority, but we need to always commit decisions that we make to the Lord before we just run out and make them. And we've tried to be slow in making decisions through the years and seeking God's will, and we should always do that. But here we're talking about being in submission and being in the right in the eyes of our authority. Here's one thing, and really the rest of them don't matter if this one isn't there. We see that Esther, number one, committed the matter to the Lord. All selfish motives were denied. Prayer and fasting would be taking place. Number two, let's see what else we see about Esther, chapter 5, verse 1. Not only, number one, did she commit the matter to the Lord, but number two, we see that Esther was respectful towards her husband. 5, verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Do you think that had anything to do with the fact that they prayed and fasted for 3 days? Have you ever heard somebody say, let's pray that they have favor in whatever? I think this is one of the areas in the Bible where we get that from. I know I've said that before. God, help them to have favor if they're going for a job interview. Help them to have favor with the person interviewing them. God, help this person to have favor. Like tomorrow, we're praying for Mateen as he stands before authority, the judge. God, help Mateen to have favor as he stands before the judge tomorrow, that he might be able to get permanent residency here in Canada. Help him to have favor. There's no way around the fact that she had favor with her husband, the king, that in fact that it came after 3 days of prayer and fasting before committing it to the Lord. They definitely go hand in hand. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of his scepter. We see, number two, that Esther was respectful toward her husband. Look, turn over, if you will, to the book of Proverbs, chapter number 25. Proverbs 25. And let's look at verse 24. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Look at chapter 27, verse 17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We see here, in no way is Esther disrespectful toward the king, her husband. So we see, number one, most importantly, when we're dealing with authority, we need to commit the matter to the Lord. Has anybody in here ever had a problem with authority in your life? David's got his hand up. By the way, that isn't an abnormal thing. We've all had disagreements with authority. There's a right and a wrong way to handle it. And I believe we can see from Esther's life the way to handle and be submissive in authority in our life. It's something that is missing. It's something that is missing in our day. Maybe not in my generation, but maybe it started in my generation. I don't know. But I want to equip us to be people that are willing to submit. We don't always have to have our way, do we? We don't always have to be the one that's right. We can be submissive and allow people to have the right of way, if you will. So we see that she committed it to the Lord. Secondly, she was respectful to her husband. But I think this one really helped me. We see in verses 3 and 4 that Esther showed some forbearance. Forbearance. What does this mean? Let's see what the Bible says. Then said the king unto her, What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee, even given thee, to the half of the kingdom. Now, immediately, think about it. Immediately, Esther could have unloaded the truck right here. She could have said, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this, king. I guess she called her husband king. I don't know. You're not going to believe this. Haman, he's not a good guy. You just gave him your ring the other day. And you know what you did? You were allowing him to kill me and all my people. She could have unloaded on him right there. But did she do that? No. She exhibits some forbearance. What is forbearance? Self-control, some restraint, some patience. Notice what she did. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king. Here she is standing before the one who has summoned, who has given his approval to have her and all of her people killed. And she has the forbearance to not unload immediately on this authority. And Esther answered, if it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him. She did not bring up the matter right away. She waited for God to open the right opportunity. Now, we read this story. You've read it. I've read it many, many times. And you know what? Just like every other biblical story, we know the end of the story. Can we not put ourselves for a moment in the middle of this story a little bit and try to, if you can, try to with me, put ourselves in the space here with Queen Esther? She doesn't know the end of the story. She doesn't know how it's going to work out. She's going into it being led of the Lord under the advice of her uncle, under the 3 days of prayer and fasting of her and her maidens and her uncle and all the people, and she's letting God lead as she deals with authority in her life. I believe we find a valuable lesson here of forbearance when we deal with authority. She waited for God to open the right opportunity. Again, how many times have we prayed as we've been trying to witness to people or trying to encourage people? God, we want just the right opportunity. We want you to open the door. May your timing be known in this situation. And many times, I'm guilty, I'd be my hand first, that we get ahead of God. We run ahead of God. Again, Esther could have given her husband all the information right then. I've never really thought about it until just recently reading through this and kind of meditating and thinking about it, that, you know what, that's what I would have done. I would have unloaded on him right away and said, you've got to do something now. But you know what, he might not have received it that well. But here we see the approach of Esther is one I think we can use as we deal with authority in our life. And what did God do? Chapter 6, verses 1 to 10. We won't read it for time's sake, but we know God worked a great miracle. God worked a great miracle. So number one, she committed the matter to the Lord. What is there in your life right now that needs to be committed to the Lord? She was respectful toward her husband. Number three, she showed forbearance. Number four, look at verse 5. Then the king said, cause Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther hath said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. Esther practiced, and I couldn't think of it about another word for it, but Esther practiced softness. In other words, Esther did something nice. I mean, here it is. Do you think it's time to have a meal? Obviously, this is what God led her to do. Your life is hanging in the balance, and you want to make a banquet? You want to make something to eat? I guess she knew the quickest way to the king's heart was through his belly, maybe. Amen? God led her in that way to do this. I don't know. To me, I look at this like there is no drama outside of the Bible. I mean, look at that. All these millions of Jews' lives are at stake, and God leads her to say, hey, I'd like to make a meal for you. She does something nice. Again, she doesn't lose control. She doesn't go on a tirade. We've all been there before. Look at chapter 7 quickly. So she practiced something nice in dealing with authority. She showed forbearance. She was respectful. She took the matter to the Lord. Lastly, number 5. She showed great respectfulness. Esther chapter 7, verse 2. Now, fast forward ahead, other things have happened. It's great reading for you. So the king and Haman came to the banquet with Esther the queen. Actually, she invited him back an additional time. She didn't even have it ready the first time. She wanted him to come back another time. And the king said unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed, even to the half of the kingdom." Then Esther the queen answered and said, notice this respect for the authority. "If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king." Again, think of the weight that's on her shoulder right now. The weight of a nation. "Let my life be given me at my petition, and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed and to be slain and to perish. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage." And again, now the king is obviously aware of something is not right here, and he finds out that it's Haman, and everything now begins to turn. But notice, I can't get beyond verse 3, how the wording, there were no demands made by Esther. "If I have found favor in thy sight, if it pleased the king." We see God worked three amazing miracles in this story. Number one, just the fact that when she went into the presence of the king held out his golden scepter. I know this sounds very harsh, but in that day, if you went in before the presence of the king without being summoned, you could be killed. God worked there. Number two, we skipped over it because of time, but her uncle Mordecai, in between those two chapters, I would read that story there in between there, chapters 5 and 6. Mordecai had actually saved the king's life previously. Some people had been conspiring to kill King Ahasuerus, and nothing was ever done for Mordecai. And God allowed in the same timing of all of this, remember, God's timing is always the best. The fact that Mordecai goes to Esther, and Esther says, "Hey, if I'm going before the king, you guys are going to not eat for 3 days. You're going to pray for me, and we'll do it too." And right after that happens, in the same timeline of that happening, oh, by the way, the king finds out that Mordecai has saved his life previous years. Did we ever do anything for Mordecai? Did we ever honor Mordecai? And it's really humorous how that all comes together, because he brings in Haman into this meeting, and Haman thinks it's going to be for Haman. And so Haman says, "I'll tell you what you do. Let the man ride on the king's horse and have him ride through town and make him a big spectacle." And the king says to Haman, "Okay, fine, I want you to do that to Mordecai." But you see, all of that happened in the midst of this time where Esther was submissive to the authority in her life. The point of this, again, tonight is that God's timing is always the best. And then number three, the Jews were spared. I believe tonight we read in the book of Esther how the heart of those in authority over us can be changed. Sometimes God puts people over us that aren't even saved, but they're over us in some way. Maybe one we listed, maybe one we didn't list. I believe it's very clear tonight, we can see from God's word that the heart of the authority in our life can be changed, patiently waiting on the Lord and His power. But again, I leave you with this: we cannot overlook Esther's first response to the problem. She gave it to the Lord. I found this quote: "We cannot expect God to do what only He can do until we have first done what we should do." Let me read it to you again. We cannot expect God to do what only He can do. The only way you can explain this story, Esther's life, is God's intervention. There is no other explanation for it. First off, she should have been killed right then, walking in before the king. That should have never even been allowed. But we cannot expect God to do what only He can do until we have first done what we should do. And that was, hey, I'm going before the king, but before I do this, we need some prayer time. We've got to commit this to the Lord. You know, God raises up and puts down those whom He will. And the authority, we might look and we might complain about the government, the authority that we have in the country of Canada. We might complain about this or complain about that, but you know what? God has given us the rules and regulations here that we're to obey the authority that God has put over us unless it causes us to violate the Word of God. Christians should be the most submissive to the authority in their lives. We should be the most submissive. It gives us an opportunity, like Esther, to see God change the heart of somebody, even like King Ahasuerus, who had all the power. No one could change his mind. And yes, someone could change.